is Aubrey Warner with NSH, and I am excited to introduce NSH's newest podcast series, SC Workshop Snippets. Over the next month, NSH Convention Committee members will interview presenters about their upcoming workshop at the 43rd Annual NSH Symposium Convention in Orlando, Florida. You can expect to walk away from each episode with a little bit of new knowledge and a thirst to learn more about this topic and others at NSH's Annual Symposium Convention. To learn more about this episode's featured workshop and all available workshops, visit www.histoconvention.org. I hope you enjoy the episode, and hopefully I will see you in Orlando.
Hi, my name's Jamie Pert. I am an NSH member, and I'm also a program team member this year for the NSH convention. I am here today with Eric and John, and they will be presenting workshop number 20, Mohs, Fundamentals, and Techniques. Welcome, guys, and thank you for joining us.
This is Eric.
Thank you, Jamie.
Hi, I'm John. Thanks for having us on here, Jamie. Really looking forward to this year's NSH symposium in Florida.
If I was sitting in your workshop, what is one of the most surprising things I would learn?
Well, the way Mohs has evolved, and Eric, you can elaborate some more on that.
Yeah, I've been involved in Mohs surgery now for about 10 years, and even in that relatively short amount of time, Mohs surgery has really evolved a lot. A lot of what's changed has been including IHC staining to enhance diagnoses and broaden out the number of cases that we can do work on. So obviously when you add different techniques and things like that, different processes into the Mohs workflow, there needs to be some additional skills that are learned by the histotech. And so we hope to cover some of that as well in our workshop. We also, you know, want to give a broad basis for the new histotech who's never dealt with Mohs and kind of give some experience around that too so that they know what they're getting into. And, you know, we're hoping that they can bring in those little Mickey Mouse popsicles because we're going to get hungry in our workshop.
Sounds good. What are some of the most recent changes in this topic area that professionals and histotechs should be aware of?
Well, I think one of the big recent changes, it's actually a constant change that's happening in Mohs, and it's expected, I think, amongst the Mohs surgery community to continue changing, is that the reimbursement rates continue to go down for Mohs. So while this has traditionally been a very lucrative clinical operation, that's changing. And along with that change, you know, when you're kind of tightening the belt on the financial side, we need to increase efficiencies as techs in the lab. We need to learn how to do things quicker or cheaper. We need to learn how to wear different hats. So that's one of the ways that I've seen that Mohs really changes over the years is integrating more lean processes, and that's something we'll be talking about as well.
Yeah, a lot of the Mohs techs are having to wear many hats, as Eric mentioned. In the past, the majority of their work was just tech work, cryotomy, but there's a lot more data entry to kind of make the position more manageable and cost efficient as the reimbursement rates fluctuate and possibly go down even more. So to maintain the efficiency of the workflow, we have the techs doing a lot of the other ancillary tasks and then adding on other skill sets to increase revenue as well for the lab.
Yeah, one of the things we do at our institution here in Oregon is we've definitely started integrating more with some of the research labs at our university. And we sort of function as a research core for frozen sectioning, and not just that, but for consenting research participants that are Mohs patients from that day, taking debulking of tissues and processing those in different methods for research storage of various research protocols. So I would say that's something that traditionally is not done in Mohs, but it's a way that's provided our practice with another revenue stream that helps offset some of the costs and keeps us constantly looking to the future as far as what different things we can do and different ways that we can help out across the university.
Yeah, and our Mohs techs also help in the research departments by sectioning frozen tissue for the research departments, and that also generates a little bit of revenue, as a lot of the research facilities don't necessarily have the skill set for cryotomy or basic histology. They sometimes send tissue to us just to section and make unstained slides for them to do their stains on, which is kind of nice to have those those options available.
Well, it sounds great. A lot of versatility there. What has been the most surprising thing that you've learned about?
Gosh, just how easy it is to blow up a lab. I'm on my fourth lab now, and it never ceases to amaze me. No, I'm just kidding. There's just such a large variety of techniques and protocols. We've had our Mohs lab here for quite a long time at OHSU. Our initial Mohs surgeon was one of Dr. Mohs' initial proteges. So even though he's retired now, just a few years ago, we've had Mohs here at OHSU for decades. And over that time, we've seen a whole lot of different people come in and train. We've seen people from different practices come in and train. And as they've come in, they've brought in their own experience from different institutions, their own equipment. We've had people bring in different pieces of equipment that they prefer for embedding, different processes for staining, things like that. Yeah. And we try to integrate and compare as we go and streamline, of course, at our institution. But it's always surprising to me, and I think John would agree, just how large a variety there is, considering that Mohs is not that old of a technology. You know, like I mentioned, we're kind of second generation on the Mohs process here at OHSU, and even though it's that recent, it's just amazing how many people have customized and built things differently where they're at.
Man, everyone has their own unique technique in sort of the art of Mohs. I've seen so many different Mohs histotechs with different techniques for picking up sections on slides, different techniques for alleviating some of the challenges in mounting tissue or just sectioning tissue. It's always impressive to see the human ability and the versatility of humans to come up with unique solutions to challenging problems.
It's actually become a challenge for us to discriminate all of these different techniques and figure out which ones we want to talk about in our workshop,
because
we could speak for an hour just listing out the dozens and dozens of different pickup and embedding techniques that we've come across in researching this. So.
Yeah, and also the lab setups too, the supplies and the equipment that labs have. You know, from one lab to the other, there's always different H&E stain protocols, different equipment used, the basic layout of a lab can be variable from one lab to the other. It's also kind of interesting to see, you know, those differences over the course of many years of, you know, being a part of histology.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite parts is going to these and meeting people and hearing their ways of doing things. And
absolutely.
It's the benefit of community, for sure.
So I know you talked about you want new techs to come and other techs who aren't familiar with Mohs. So for those techs, if somebody's not familiar with it, what do you suggest that they do to prepare or if they'd like to?
Well, there's many options to kind of prepare for this. They can reach out to other labs that have a Mohs lab or other histology labs to get some volunteer hands-on experience. A lot of labs are willing to have people come in to just kind of view and see how the process is done. And then you can also look it up online just to kind of get a brief understanding of what it is always helpful. Eric, do you have any added
comments? Well, if you struggle getting in into a Mohs lab, there's always the option of just hanging out in tanning beds until you get a tumor, and then you can become a patient. And that's a really quick way to access a Mohs surgeon in a lab as well. Although we wouldn't recommend it here, or I'd be fired.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. And what concept do people most often struggle with when learning with this topic, and why do you think that is?
I think, overall, in my career now, I've trained Mohs techs for, as I mentioned, about 10 years. And the things that I notice people struggle the most with are the majority are around mounting the specimens. Mohs is similar to routine histology of the skin, but very different in that when you're embedding, you need to be looking for a horizontal section, but getting the margin down in a vertical fashion. And so that usually takes a lot of skill. It depends upon the Mohs surgeon as well. The Mohs surgeon, some of them will do a nice beveled excision, and it makes it much easier to lay that peripheral margin down. But some Mohs surgeons, even some seasoned Mohs surgeons, it's like the cliffs of Dover. They just, I don't even know how they get it out of the patient that way, but it's just very perpendicular to the surface. And so there's a very delicate process of of relaxing the tissue down and bringing it down to the edge, that is really an art, and it takes a lot of practice to recognize when you have that that tissue embedded properly. And so I think that a lot of people really struggle with that. And the other thing I would say people struggle with is as John mentioned, sort of picking up the tissue. And John, do you want to talk a little bit more on that?
Yeah, I mean, it is an art form, really. It's a nice, in histology, it's always a dance of art and science, and there's no exception in the Mohs lab. A lot of the hardest elements of picking up and training to be a Mohs techer is learning the art of Mohs with the mounting, as Eric mentioned, and brush techniques for obtaining your sections in the cryostat, basic cryotomy, finding your own technique and comfort levels with obtaining quality sections is kind of the whole gamut of why Mohs and histology can be sort of an art form in many ways. So I think that those are usually the largest hurdles for new techs, is just kind of finding their technique and honing those techniques.
And sometimes just dealing with the egos of the surgeons.
That too.
I would say that's a challenge in
yeah.
some cases. Hopefully not in most.
Yeah. Sometimes the surgeons think we're magicians, and we have to, one way or another, accept that we need to fulfill that role and make magic happen for the surgeons.
We send all of our new techs off to a magic training academy, actually.
Yeah.
It's like Hogwarts, but, you know, not as expensive.
Well, your workshop sounds very interesting, and I'm looking forward to meeting you guys. And so thank you for giving us kind of brief overview and answering questions on it and being a part of this podcast.
It was our pleasure.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. See you in Florida.
I hope you enjoyed this preview. To read the complete abstract for this workshop and learn more about the symposium convention this September in Orlando, Florida, visit www.histoconvention.org.